You're listening to episode 255 of the 200 Churches Podcast.
Because couples on average are seeking help 7 years past from the time they should have. I told my wife one time, I said, I think by the time people reach out to the church with their marriage, they're not really looking for reconciliation. They're looking for justification. They want to be able to say, it is an ouch to say that we tried everything. We even talked to a person at church and we couldn't make it work. And you'll hear their parents even saying that. Oh, they tried everything. They even talked to the pastor and they couldn't make it work. Especially if people have kids, they want to be able to say that. So we've got to reach out to couples instead of waiting for couples to reach out to us. We can't address couples when they address us because a lot of times it's just too late.
Welcome to the 200 Churches Podcast, where every Wednesday we produce a legit episode of ministry encouragement for pastors of small churches. Now, here are two guys who have been encouraging thousands of pastors all around the world for almost 5 years. Good friends, pastors, and podcast partners, Jeff and Johnny.
This is the 200 Churches Podcast. My name is Johnny Craig, and I'm looking into the beautiful face of my friend and colleague.
Jeff Cady. Thank you, Johnny. You're so kind.
I aim to please. I just want you to feel happy today, Jeff.
I am happy. I'm happy. At the end of the day, I get to talk to you.
Hey-o.
My favorite podcast partner. Yay, my only podcast partner.
For now. You'll start another one someday, and I'll be old news, and I'll be forgotten. It's fine. No, it doesn't bother me at all.
No, Johnny, that's my line. That's my line. You're going to start another one. I'll be old news. I will be forgotten.
Oh, no, no. No one could forget you, Jeff.
So how's your day going, Johnny?
It's pretty good, man. These are evergreen, blah, 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 but it is December 12th today, and I'm staring down the barrel of preaching this Sunday and Christmas Eve services next week. And there's quite a bit to prep for this week. And of course, I'm a little behind because that's the story of my life. But I feel good anyway. I feel happy.
It's a story in the life of a small church pastor, Johnny, and we are small church pastors in practice.
Exactly right. I tell you what, I am loving the benefit of the size of my church because there are some things I want to see done for Christmas Eve that I don't have to do myself, which is a strange idea. In years past, you and I would do things on Christmas Eve, and like we wanted to have kids have a little space during the service where they could sit. And so me and you are dragging toys out of the nursery, and me and you are setting tables up. It was all me and you, and it's different now, and I like that.
Well, today I had lunch with some pastors at the Pizza Ranch, and I met a pastor who knew Paul Kuzma, Foursquare.
Oh, Paul Kuzma. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, we had a number of connections. I had other connections, and it was a lot of fun. I went there for an hour lunch, and it ended up being 2 hours.
That's classic, man. That's classic.
Yep, so it was a lot of fun. Hey, last week I got on the horn with Ted Lowe.
Finally.
Finally. So what you don't know is that Johnny and I recorded with Ted after a couple failed attempts, and we recorded with him, and the recording was flawed, marred, unable to be utilized. So I got on the blower with him last week one morning, and we had a great conversation.
That's
and
awesome.
Again, Johnny, again, this is 2 weeks in a row. This is not good. To our listeners, I apologize. Johnny is not on this episode with me. And
it's a fail on my part. I'm sorry.
Well, no, it's just that the scheduling got goofed up. But Ted really got some great stuff in here. He's the director of marriedpeople.org.
Yeah.
It is a division of the Rethink Group, which is kind of in cahoots with the Orange Conference ministry type people. So, pastors, when you listen to this, see if you understand the whole relationship between Orange and Rethink and marriedpeople.org any better than you do at the beginning. Because I asked Ted, you know, when I edit it later on, I might understand it better.
Sure.
But after talking to him and trying to ask questions and you know, sort it all out, I don't know that I understand it any better.
That's all right. The content is what matters, and the content is gold. Let's get into it. When we get out, I'm going to say a little something about what I think about our podcast and our guests over and against maybe another podcast. So stay tuned for me to diss somebody else.
Oh, boy.
But this is your conversation with Ted Lowe.
Well, here we are, Ted. This is take, I don't know what take this is. It's probably officially only take two, but it seems like it's about take 18 because we've been trying to get you on the podcast. We recorded once. The technology failed, but here we are. Thank you for joining us today.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think I was part of the reason this has felt like the middle of the time is because I actually missed the first one and felt so horrible about that. I always say I'm the problem is I'm my own assistant, and so that that's usually not a good thing.
Well, that's our problem. And you know what? In this intro right here, I completely forgot about that, believe it or not. I don't even remember. I remember now that you say it, but I wasn't even thinking about it because just about 2 weeks ago, I had a 6 a.m. appointment with the chairman of my elder board at a restaurant for breakfast, 6 a.m. And Sunday night, I thought about it, and I knew it was Tuesday morning, and I was looking forward to it. And then Monday, about 9 o'clock in the morning, I see this text from my chairman. Hey, where were you this morning? I was there and you didn't show up. I'm like, oh, he got up for 6 o'clock.
Is there any is there any worse feeling in the world when you do that?
Well, I thought about you, though, and I thought, well, there we go. I had told Johnny, man, I haven't done that in years. It had been many years since I'd stood somebody up, but... But yes, it happens. It happens. So, Ted, just introduce yourself to our listeners. They don't probably know who you are. They don't know who you are from us. Let me put it that way. So, just tell them about your ministry, maybe a little bit about your family.
Yeah. So, Nancy Lowe and I have been married for 23 years. We have three teenagers at our house. So, pray for us.
What are their ages?
We have 17-year-old, a 14-year-old, and almost 13-year-old. So,
oh, yes. Perfect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I used to have a lot of definitives when it came to parenting, and then I became one, and especially a parent of a teenager. So that's changed my world. But I oversee the marriage division of a company called Orange, where we create resources for churches. So I oversee, again, the married people division. So I do all resources to help churches help marriages, because we know that I would say 99% of churches don't have a marriage pastor or have someone on staff. So we say we want to help be that staff for churches and create resources for them. And I've been doing that since 2010. Prior to starting Married People, I worked for North Point Community Church as the director of married life for 9 years there. So just been looking at marriage through the lens of the local church since 2001, and very passionate about that. Really do feel like the church is the best place to invest into marriages. So, yeah.
Okay.
That's what
so,
I do.
So I've got some questions for you. And sure. If I've got these questions, I know that our listeners have these questions too. So you said a company called Orange. Is this the company connected with the Orange Conference?
It is.
Okay.
It is.
Okay. And what's the – is that the name of the parent organization? It's just called Orange?
Well, it's funny. Is the the official name of the company is the Rethink Group.
This is the Rethink Group.
Right. And so we couldn't trademark the name – Orange for some reason, because it's a color and a fruit, I guess. Orange is, the orange for people that are listening that don't know what in the world.
Yeah, what is orange? I was going to ask you, what does that mean? I still haven't quite wrapped my understanding around that.
Yeah, so yellow represents the light of the church, and red represents the love of the family, and together they make orange. And so the idea is we want to partner with churches, to partner with families, to partner with parents. And because for so long, I think the church has felt like, hey, I'm responsible for leading kids spiritually. And what we all know to be true, especially those of you, all of us, regardless of the size of your church, is we know that parents have the most influence with their kids, and always. And so what we love to do is partner with those parents. So if we're talking about Grace one Sunday morning, we want to give churches tools to give parents to continue that conversation with their kids about grace. So if that conversation is going on all week long. And so one of the things we, had to come to a reckoning with in 2010 was to go, wow, if parents are going to teach their kids about things like grace, then they're going to have to be able to give each other grace, or the kids aren't buying it. So that's when we started pouring into marriages. And so, yeah, so the light of the church and love of the family. And so that's where Married People comes in. We want to really strengthen the love of the family so that it's the nice color of orange and not some weird odd color of orange.
Okay. So married people is the arm of the Rethink group that deals with marriages.
Correct.
And orange is kind of the arm that deals with helping families and children in churches.
And married people is the marriage division of Orange, basically, the concept of Orange. Yeah,
married people is the married division of under Orange, and you talked about if you're talking about grace at church, you want the parents to be talking about grace through the week. Now, that's a little bit of a revolutionary idea, I think, for some of our pastors to think, who have never been connected to Orange, that the parents. That they would have the expectation of parents in their church actually teaching their kids biblical or spiritual truth throughout the week, right?
Exactly. Because, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, as you walk alongside them and at night, that we create tools that during those moments when you're in the car with the kid, when you're sitting down at dinner, what are those tools? What are those things that would help parents to talk, you know, to leverage that? Because that's not easy, right? I mean, like most people that go to our churches, they've not been trained in anything like this.
Right.
But if we can give them simple ways, it's so powerful. Just give them relational wins. How do we do this? And that's what we do through married people is give couples smaller relational wins. We say we want to give couples less content more often because typically in the marriage space especially, we dump about 5 years worth of content onto couples in a retreat in 2 days. And they're walking away going, wow, what is that all about?
Yeah.
And so it's just these little doses. We get really excited about, you know, helping couples to affirm each other and to laugh. And that's a big win for us.
So just about 2 weeks ago, my associate pastor said to me, Jeff, sometimes I forget and I get reminded when I'm talking to our folks how little so many of the people in our church know about the Bible. I mean, literally just like information in their head, understanding of how things fit together, you know, how the characters matter in the story of Scripture, difference between Old Testament and New Testament. Some of the stuff that we just assume they really don't know, and we really need to teach them, you know, diligently, consistently, to try to bring their biblical and spiritual IQ up. And I think the same thing is true. We think that the parents in our church know what we know, and they must be dealing with their kids in a good way. Or we think that the parents in our church don't know, and we have no expectation on them that they're really going to be teaching. That's why they bring their kids to our youth group and to our Sunday school class, you know, and to our children's church program, because that's where they're going to learn it. But really, isn't the truth somewhere in the middle?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think people's insecurity about not knowing the Bible leads them to not say anything to their kids. They're afraid their kid's going to ask a question that maybe they can't understand. But I think you're exactly right. Somewhere in the middle for us to continue to help them with that and to give context. I know my son has been working at a church. He's 18 and been interning in a church. And a guy came and spoke recently, and he started talking about how much he loved the way this guy communicated. And he looks at me, he goes, because he gave full context of what he was talking about. And he was so excited about that and saw the power of that at 18 years old to go, wow, context really does help. And so, yeah, I think it's very empowering for people to know, to have context, to understand, and we can do that in grace-filled ways. And, you know, and I think the same thing is true with marriage. When you start talking about having a quote-unquote biblical marriage and they – you know, what does that even mean for a lot of people? You know, you look at examples of marriage in the Bible, you can't find a whole lot of great examples. So, I think across the board, but the brilliance of the Bible and how relevant it is when they can get just a taste of that, because I feel like marriage especially is that spiritual milk. And if they can get these little relational wins, I think they can move to the spiritual meat after that with each other. They can go deeper.
Man, I'm still stuck on what you said about there's not that many great marriages in the Bible. And I'm thinking to myself, there should be some piece of encouragement in that for us, you know,
right.
In that, you know, it's people have been struggling with this for millennia. And God has no, and Jesus didn't get married and model it for us, right?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. I think the great news is the Bible calls marriage a mystery. It may be the only time in the Bible where the author just punts because it's a mystery. Don't even try. And then when you look, there's not a lot of verses on marriage that have action verbs in them. And I think maybe God did it on purpose. He says, wow, this thing's a mystery. It's really hard to understand what one means, but I'm only going to give you a few directives on how to do it. And I think maybe he did that on purpose because I think that we have made marriage so, so, so complicated for people that they feel like they can't do it anymore. We had the example I always use about this is we have friends at our house several years ago, and they were about to go on vacation, just the two of them. And they were telling us that they didn't even know if they wanted to go. And we're like, what, are you crazy? You guys have pulled off the impossible. You've got a babysitter. You're off just the two of you. Hmm. What's the problem? And they said, well, we've been fighting about whether to stay in our current house or move to another one, which I know that's first world problems, but nonetheless, it was their problem.
Yeah.
But we keep fighting about this. And I said to them, I said, why don't you take a vacation from talking about it on your vacation? And these very smart people said to me, can you do that? And what that really said to me, Jeff, in that moment is we have convinced a generation that if they have an issue or if they have a struggle or a hurdle in their marriage, that their marriage is at a standstill. It's at a halt. And they can't even enjoy each other if this thing is standing there. And I think there are things about my wife and there's things about me that we're not going to understand about each other until heaven. So I feel like the issue and the Bible points us to in terms of marriage, it's not resolving our issues or resolving our differences. It is literally, here is the way that we love in an extraordinary way. I mean, we don't, you know, the Bible calls us not to love each other out of response to each other, but out of reverence or response to Christ. And say, you know, I'm going to love you because how God loved me. And when did he love us? While we were still sinners. So we are married to a sinner. They're married to a sinner. And God calls us to this really simple way. It's not easy to live out, but it is simple and easy to understand. And so I love it that when we start dialing in what God has to say about marriage, it really is not as complicated as we've been led to believe.
So, Ted, you have this book called Your Best Us. And the subtitle is Marriage is Easier Than You Think, speaking of, you know, it being easy. And I went through here, and in this book, now I want to get this right. I'm going to get it wrong. I remember we talked about this when we practice recorded a few weeks ago. The core four habits. That's what it is. The core, and I didn't even see it in here. The core four habits. And I remember looking at those and thinking, well, man, that's not rocket science. I probably could have come up with that. And as I.
But you didn't, did you?
Well, I just didn't take the time, right?
That's more truth than I'm comfortable with. Yeah.
But as I looked through it, your book supports what you just said, but I think that should be, again, encouraging. Now, this podcast isn't for married people to listen to about marriage, but it's for pastors. But I think this should be encouraging to pastors that in order to help the marriages in your church, you don't really have to move heaven and earth. You just need to help them along a little bit from one step to the next. And, you know, you lived in the world of think steps, not programs, right?
And, right, 100%.
Right, so just go from this step to that step. So let's talk for a minute, and I don't know how you want to approach it. We're just going to go with it. But let's talk for a minute to pastors and talk about how they can help the marriages in their church and why they actually can do it. Because I'll bet a lot of them, men and women pastors, are thinking, you know, man, I'm not an expert on this. I mean, I'm married, but so is everybody else. And my marriage isn't like top flight, perhaps, you know, I'm a little intimidated. I'm not really sure. So I really haven't talked about quote unquote marriage ministry in my church. So just speak to that a little bit, because again, you said you were 9 years at North Point just in with the responsibility of ministry to marriages. So that's really interesting.
You know, what started married people actually started at North Point, because North Point was, you know, a big church. It's because it was Andy Stanley's church. We had a lot of churches visiting us, all different sizes. And we would do these different marriage events, and they would, you know, watch them. And you know what? If I'm being completely honest, Jeff, what
please
I would
be,
see,
please be.
Just completely instead of partially honest, when God starts doing things, or at least God has to be really loud with me because I'm not that sharp. But I remember when I was at North Point and we were having a conference, and one of the, you know, as a staff, we would serve at the conference, and I had a guy come running up to me, and he says, "We've forgotten to put people in the main entrance to greet people. Can you go over there?" And why I know this was a God moment, this wasn't a guy that forgot to put people, you know, at the main entrance. This guy's the most organized human alive. And so I take off over there to greet people. And I'm not kidding you. I bet you I would have like every fourth or fifth person to say, "Oh, I know married life. I know about what you guys are doing." But then I would talk to them later, and they didn't talk to me with encouragement when they would see what we did. They talked to me with discouragement. Like, it's great that you guys can do this with your $5 gazillion and your $5 gazillion staff members, but what can we do? And they would say this, "What do you have to help us?" And that question started just burning and driving me nuts, because to much given, much is expected. And I'm thinking to myself, I've got videos in my office that I'm not sure NASA can play. and so that's what started Married People, is I wanted a great answer to that question, because when I started looking around, churches just don't have the staff for that. A lot of churches don't have a youth pastor or even assistants sometimes. And so we created Married People in such a way that it was the dream for me to come true, that when somebody says, "What do you have to help us?" It's what we have now. It's what our team has been working on since 2010 to give people. Here's a strategy, and here's all the resources behind that strategy. And it's all digital. So it's like you can hand this to, you know, a volunteer couple and say, "You run with this," because you make a great point. A lot of times the senior pastor doesn't feel like they can talk about marriage because, again, they don't feel like that their marriage is worth maybe emulating, or maybe they're in a tough spot. But when we can turn this thing over to a couple that we go, "Man, here's a couple that I think has got it going on, but also has some capabilities in terms of ministry," and let them go, support them, cheer them on, lead them well, make sure they're staying with the vision that you have for the church, that, you know, that marriage is pushing toward that vision as well. But I think that's it. A lot of churches won't talk marriage because the pastor feels like he doesn't have the right to, or, you know, doesn't want to stand up there and talk and look down there and see his wife and go, "Wow, she's not buying it." But so we had to create this. We had to create this thing in such a way that volunteers could pull it off. And they're really, you know, what do they say? When there's a void of leadership, leadership will rise. And so watching churches do that and watching empowered couples, it's really fun. And they're insecure at first. Like, I met with a church and the church leader, and he brought his couple with him. And what do volunteers always say? "No, we don't work at the church. We're just volunteers."
Yeah, yeah.
We're like, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa. Just volunteers? No, you're a volunteer, which means so much." So they need building up sometimes, or they feel insecure because this is not their space. But, you know, we let them go. And what I've found with volunteer couples is they speak the language of other couples better than a lot of times we that are in ministry do. They understand life in the real world, quote unquote, better than we do sometimes. And so that's been a fun dynamic to watch.
Yeah. And I like to call them ministry leaders. And then I kind of casually add volunteer to the front of it. They're volunteer ministry leaders.
Love
and you know, just to remind them that what they're doing is really important. So, so marriedpeople.org is the digital site where you've put together resources for churches to use to deepen and strengthen and help their marriages along. If I went to marriedpeople.org as a pastor of a church of 100, what am I going to find there? Talk me through that. What should I think about? How's it going to help me?
The thing that we really want to encourage churches to do is we created what we call an annual partnership. The thing that makes Orange different as a whole is we have what's called Orange Specialists. So when a church signs up for a particular curriculum, they get a relationship with a person. They're calling customer service. They're calling somebody that's in ministry themselves to talk it through. And these people talk to church leaders all day long and of all sizes. Like, I remember our leader, Reggie Joyner, saying, "We've got to hit smaller churches from 50 to 1,000 because that's where the most of the influence is." And so these church, we're just constantly talking to church leaders leaders. So the number one thing they're going to get is you're going to have a conversation and a partnership. And within the partnership, we create tools that churches can put into place that gives them, hey, here's curriculum, for lack of a better word, and resources for you to have a four-week sermon series. You can use it for a retreat, or you can use it for one-night events. They'll find a small group study, a five-week small group study, to go into their existing context. They don't have to create a different system. If they have Sunday school or small groups, it fits into that. We give them four date nights that they give couples to use on their own. And then we send them a once a month email that they can customize and send out to the people at their church. So everything's digital. And some churches use 90% of it, and some churches use 15% of it, but it just gets them ahead of the game. It's like we spend silly amounts of time talking about things that would drive everybody else crazy, you know, sweating a certain graphic or, you know, five words in a row. Messaging is very, very important to all that. And so we push at that kind of stuff so churches don't have to, and because they can't, they don't have it. So that's been our deal. And then we have a Facebook leaders page, and this is totally free. It's called Married People Leaders. We have a Facebook page for married people, but this is Married People Leaders. And on there, you can find leaders like 1,200 church leaders who are talking to each other. They're talking to us. They're asking questions. If they have a one-night event, they are saying, hey, what do we make the room look like? You know, and they are just serving each other. And that's been the greatest gift for me of this whole thing, is having a relationship with these partners. And they change what we create. They'll tell us really quickly what's working and what's not. And so for the last 7 years, we've been able to really allow churches to form what it is that they need and what they want. And it's been a lot of fun. And it's been to listen to the feedback come back and what's happening, because we're proactive strategy. We're not reactive. And so if you need reactive tools, or for couples in crisis, we're not your people. Our goal is to help couples from getting into crisis in the first place. So,
well, that's a good distinction right there.
It is. And you know, we talk about that sometimes, about creating resources for couples in a crisis. But in the name of focus, which is our company talks about a lot, we're just going to live in the proactive space, that you just don't think about your marriage when it's falling apart. Because couples on average are seeking help 7 years past from the time they should have. And they're in trouble. And one of the things that I found working in the local church is, I told my wife one time, I said, I think by the time people reach out to the church with their marriage, they're not really looking for reconciliation. They're looking for justification. They want to be able to say, it is an ouch to say, you know, we tried everything. We even talked to a person at church and we couldn't make it work. And you'll hear their parents even saying that. Oh, they tried everything. They even talked to the pastor and they couldn't make it work. Especially if, you know, people have kids, they want to be able to say that. So we've got to reach out to couples instead of waiting for couples to reach out to us. We can't address couples when they address us, because a lot of times it's just too late. But if we can catch them earlier in the process, then it's so powerful. Because how many of us have been sitting in the, you know, in our office at the church and talking to a couple, and one of them says, if he would have tried to reconcile 6 months ago, I would have done it. If she would have tried 2 months ago, I would have tried, but I'm done. So we got to get ahead of the game on this thing and start celebrating marriage and start enjoying marriage. In fact, we say one of the core four habits is have serious fun. And we say the best way to protect your marriage is to enjoy your marriage. There was a study by the Ullman Family Foundation about 10 years ago. They did what people's perception of marriage ministry was. And they came with it. Marriage is boring, preachy, outdated, and feminine. And so everything we do is to combat those things. Is any of this preachy, boring, outdated, or feminine? So we're really big on keeping things what we call guy friendly in that way. But this does not mean that we can't talk as deeply as we need to about what God has to say about marriage. People at church, they're not surprised when we do that. And so we really push deeply there, but remove all the other hurdles by making it fun, by making it like we're not beating up guys, and it's working. And it's such an incredible thing to get to be a part of.
So you said something that I'm going to key in on, because just recently, you know, in the last year in my ministry, I sat down with a person who said, basically, time for reconciliation is past. And now that we're, you know, they and me were talking, it was over with. And I said, you know, obviously, you know, best case scenario is, you know, reconciliation between. And they said, yeah, you know, you're right. But a year ago, I decided I was going to wait 6 months. And now it's 6 months past that. And basically, they were coming to me for, and you say the word justification, to confirm that their time to file divorce papers was now, and that they were justified in it. And I have to tell you, I think they were justified in it, but it was tragic. And what you said that when people are coming to the church for help with their marriage, they're about 7 years too late. Isn't that what you said, 7 years?
Yes. So what study show?
Okay, so this is the problem. This is the problem. This is like having to brake for a collision that's 2 miles down the road.
Wow, well, that's a great way to say it.
I mean, I don't have to put my brakes on now. There's nothing in front of me that I need to brake for. But what we're saying here is you better act now, because if you wait until you see that it's time to act, it's going to be too late for the people in our churches.
Right.
For the people in our church. So you're offering this thing at marriedpeople.org, one of probably a number of things that you could find on the internet, but this is from this group that's connected with North Point, and North Point has a ton of respect in terms of their research and what they've done in ministry in all different areas. So you're offering this thing. So I guess I want to challenge pastors. If this is true, this seven-year thing, even if it's 3 years, like cut in half, if 3.5 years, does it really matter? If we wait until, oh man, there's some people in our church that are in crisis, we better speak to all of them. If we wait until that, we've sacrificed some couples by our hesitation.
It's so true. You know, it's marriedpeople.org. And I think, you know, Jeff, if we think about it as pastors from that perspective, you know, you think about healthier marriage makes a healthier church. Because if your marriages are healthier, you know, your volunteerism is healthier, to use your word, your leadership is healthier, your tithing is healthier, you know, divorce is financially devastating, you know, the faith of people, you know, I don't know about you, when my marriage is not working with Nancy, nothing seems to be working, including, you know, including my faith, the attendance is healthier. And so if we start getting ahead of the game, and what I have noticed when we get proactive is people, they don't know as they're doing these proactive things, you know, is this thing working? Because, you know, to use an Andy Stanley phrase, you know, when we do things with an intervention approach, the results are emotional and they're measurable. If we're intervening on a couple and we save them from divorce, or we walk them through, that's an emotional thing and that's measurable. They were going to divorce, now they're not going to divorce. But when we do prevention, it's neither measurable or emotional. You know, we can't count it, and it's not an emotional story because we don't know what we've prevented.
Right.
But it's a far superior story, right? Like we won't know until heaven what we've prevented. The couples at our church don't know what we prevented. People aren't calling the church with good news typically. And we're not going to know those stories till heaven, but I think it's worth waiting for when we do these things. Again, it doesn't have to be complicated. One of the things we encourage churches to do is to help couples to date well. And just one of the examples is one of the questions on some of the one of the dates that we've created, actually it's a fill in the blank, is answer this with each other. The thing about you that makes me say, wow, is this. Now, my wife and I wrote those questions and I lived off her answer for 6 months because where are people doing that? And we as a church get to cue them to do that. And you think about a couple's intention, you know, they're frustrated and they go out on this date. And a man looks at his wife and says, you know what makes me say wow about you is how you handle everything with the kids, with your job, with the house, dealing with me, that I can't believe all that you can do. You know, you think about those moments. One of the things we encourage people to do is use post-it notes. I mean, talking about making it simple, use a post-it note to affirm each other. So you can imagine, you know, somebody getting in the car and saying and seeing a post-it note on their steering wheel that says, thanks for going to work every day. I know you don't love your job, but thank you so much for providing for our family. Those are those little moments that can help in really, really big ways. And that's when I mean marriage is easier than we've been led to believe. It's just having those moments where you're laughing, where you're connecting with each other. Because we lead out a lot of times at the church, oh, marriage, you know, it takes a lot of hard work. Well, none of us got married because we wanted to get married to struggle and to work. You know, none of us said we met a beautiful woman who was completely passive aggressive and we can't wait to work that out. Right? We got connected because we enjoyed being together. And so as a church, if we can help them to do that, it's so, so powerful. And again, you just watch some of these stories on our Married People Facebook leaders page is you hear what couples are saying and what's happening. It's so, so much fun. And again, it's not measurable and it's not that emotional, but it is a far superior story for the families of our church.
Well, it reminds me of Stephen Covey's Quadrant 2 work, right? Mm. It's not urgent, but it's very important. And this is things like eating right, exercise, getting enough sleep, you know, the whole issue of boundaries in your life. None of that's all that sexy, and it's not really urgent, but it's so important. But instead, you know, we're in a hurry, so we'll run through the drive-through to get our meal, or we'll skip our exercise, or we'll cut back on our sleep. And what are the parallels in our marriage?
Wow, that's it. So true. And I think that's where marriage ministry lands for most church leaders as well, is this is important, but it's not urgent because Sunday's coming. Well, I think when we start really doing our homework on how marriages are impacting children and impacting faith, that it is now in the important and urgent box. And so I think we've got to see marriage. We've got to address this thing because it, you know, the house is on fire now when we're seeing how marriages are falling apart and just how it impacts a child, even if we're just doing it for kids. Wow. And I think about that. You know, some churches, let's use part of our children's ministry budget to focus on marriages. You know, we spend all this time and money on facilities for kids, you know, which is great. It's great. I get it. I've got three kids. But we say at Orange all the time, one of the best gifts your church can give a kid is a mom and dad whose marriage is working. And that could be mom and stepdad or stepdad and mom. That could be foster parents. That could be grandparents that are raising a kid. But any marriage that impacts the life of the kid, you know, it matters. How do we pour into that? So I don't know whatever puts marriage in your important and urgent box, but it really is.
That's good. That's really good. Well, Ted, I feel like we just started the conversation, but we're quite a ways down the road, so we got to land the plane. But you're at Ted Lowe, L-O-W-E, tedlowe.com, as well as marriedpeople.org. A lot of information there. Then the whole Orange thing and the whole Rethink. Is it called the Rethink Group?
It is called the Rethink Group.
Yeah. Is it in the same like facility as Orange Conference People?
It is. What Orange Conference is part of the Rethink Group. It's how we talk to churches. Like we work with churches all year long on resources and strategy. And so conference is a celebration of that. It's continued investment into churches. It's where new churches come to see if they want to be a part of Orange. And so, yeah, it's part of the offerings of Orange and the Rethink Group.
And is there any – do you have any conferences right now for – that's supported by Married People?
We actually – Married People goes on what's called Orange Tour. So because we had a lot of churches who couldn't bring their leaders all the way to Atlanta for the Orange Conference. They wanted their volunteers and their leadership to hear this. So what we did is we did a 20-city tour all over the United States so people could bring a lot of their volunteers. One of the things we've done with Married People, and they can find this on the Facebook leaders page, is we just did a webinar. And Jeff, we had like 700 people to join us for this. I didn't know there were 700 people in marriage ministry. So we were pretty excited about that. And that's a webinar they can watch for free. And we answer a lot of questions and we talk about the seven shifts to an effective marriage ministry. And so that's where we're kind of living in the digital space a little bit. I did do some Orange Tour stops, but a lot of us are living, real personal. We're at this time where we can still be really personal, and answer questions directly and talk with people. And so it's just been great.
Okay, so when you hear about the Orange Tour, Married People is connected to that, and it's all kind of one big deal.
It is all one big deal, correct. Okay,
well, I'm just confused at a little bit higher level, not quite as bad as I was before about rethinking married people with oranges and cuties. Oh, this has been great. You know, last night my wife and I went out with a couple in our church. We went to the movie A Murder on the Orient Express.
How was that?
It was a great movie. It ended so well, and it was a movie that I actually could understand. Because if a movie's going too fast and there's all kinds of stuff going on in it and it assumes that you know stuff, that's probably the movie that I'm going to be so confused with. But but this one was, maybe I dozed off once or twice and my wife had to nudge me. Hey, we went to this theater where they had these recliners, like these big leather things, and you push the button and it comes up. I've never been in a theater that nice. And how
it's the Lord's theater, isn't it?
It really is. Yeah, I'll blasphemy, right? That God would have a theater, you know, 30 years ago, you'd never say that. But anyway, when we went out, so we kind of had a date. We double dated, right, with another couple last night. And some of what you were saying on this episode made me think about, you know, the whole dating thing. And like, that was one of your core four habits, was dating. Another one's having fun, and I was thinking, man, I could come up with this, but it's really going to help your marriage if you'd actually do that. It is like eating right and exercising, dating and having fun with your husband or wife. Also, this book, Your Best Us, Marriage is Easier Than You Think, available on Amazon and wherever else probably you can buy books to get some of these. And this would be a great small group. I mean, this is not a real long book, and it's broken up to be a small group study book, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a separate study. It was funny. We wrote the book and did the small group study completely separately, because I feel like sometimes with books – they don't make great small group studies, and some small group studies don't make great books. So we did them very intentionally, really separate.
Okay.
But there's actually two. There is a small group study that's just video driven, and then there's the book. But you know, we wrote the book. I said this is a marriage book for people that don't like marriage books, because I said forever. Last thing the world needs is another marriage book, and then I wrote one. But I think it was one of the things where I was like, it's kind of a response, and there's great books out there. I'm not slamming other books, but I thought, how do we make this really, really, really simple and really, really doable and really encouraging too? Because I think if we're not careful, we can really beat people up about marriage, and they have a good heart. They don't wake up in the morning, most of them, with ill intent. They got a good heart. It's just no one's taught us how to do this stuff. And, you know, the thing I love about even the Have Serious Fun piece, people go, okay, is that an extra thing or is that an essential thing? And it actually comes from Proverbs 5 when Solomon is, you know, I say trying to scare the pants on his son. You know, I'm like, come on, Solomon, take your own advice. But the wisdom is still there. And for 17 verses, he's warning him about what happens when there's adultery. But then he stops and he says, be captivated by the wife of your youth. Delight in her always. And I thought, think about that. 17 verses of don't. And then what's the do that protects us from one of the big bad bears of marriage called adultery? It's enjoying each other. It's being captivated by each other. It's the wife of your youth, you know, the one we promised. You know, I always think about too, to take me back to the baseline, when I think about, you know, Nancy Lowe at 23 years old trusted me with the quality of her life. I will trust you with my heart. And I think we need to go back there and say, you know what? I did promise another human being that I was going to be really careful with their heart and I was really going to love them well. And when we go back there and we say, you know what? Let's enjoy each other for a while. Let's take a vacation from all these issues and let's just laugh. Let's just have fun. Let's just connect. Let's put us connecting in the important and urgent box. And then great things start happening. And then you have all those – that's what happens is you get all these deposits when we date and when we hang out, when we laugh. So when the bad stuff happens, you have something to withdraw from. But when we're just going a million miles an hour and we haven't connected in a tender way, in a fun way, in a sexual way, then we've got nothing to draw from. And so that's why those times are so important. And quite frankly, it's the fun stuff of marriage. It's not the have to. It's the get to of marriage. So I love us elevating that as a church, saying we as a church want you to laugh and enjoy each other to the point where people look at you, because marriage is supposed to reflect the relationship between Christ and the church. So the question for church leaders are, what are the marriages of your church saying about your church, and what are they saying about Christ? because marriage is the number one marketing tool for the church. And so if we can pour into marriages and people start enjoying each other, what a great light for our church. Because what's more attractive right now? This never gets old. When you see a couple whose marriage is working, and because we all want it, and it's a great entry point in your church. That's what we found with marriage events, is they became one of the greatest entry point into our church, because you don't have to love Jesus to want your marriage to work, because if marriage is not working, nothing's working. So marriage ministry, when it's done well, really is a great bridge for non-believers into the church.
Ted, man, the last 3 minutes were were the whipped cream on this dessert. That was really good. And you know, I want to say to pastors and men, so we speak to men and women pastors, and I just want to say, you know, you're the big bad pastor. You got it all together, blah, blah, blah. You're busy, stuff going on. You don't have time, and your husband or your wife understands. You got a good marriage. You're a ministry marriage, you know, and that, and so you're putting the other one last all the time, or at least second to the important things that you have to do because you're the pastor. So let's just speak for a second to your marriage, right? So maybe you need to focus on this kind of stuff. Maybe you need to get your best us, a fun, easy marriage book that will get you moving back in the right direction. Because maybe you're at the 6.5 year mark, right? Maybe you've just started into this. You start putting the priorities of life ahead of you don't include the priority of your marriage in those priorities, and you're busy, I understand this, Ted. I'm married 31 years. I've got 3 kids now who are married, and they all have a kid, and so I'm quite along in this, and we get busy and we're doing all of these things, and the things that you've talked about are the very things that we fudge on and that we don't do. And yeah, I've had these thoughts, you know, I'm looking at my wife and I'm admiring her for the person that she is, but do I tell her all the time? Right. Do I tell her, like what you said about what makes me say wow about you? Okay. If we were all just honest and let's just get off our high horses. I mean, it could bring a tear to our eye to think about actually saying that to our spouse. You know, this is what makes me say wow about you. But this is the kind of a thing that marriedpeople.org and what you and your team have been working on to, and I like the fact that you're focusing not on intervention of crisis situations, because that's a whole nother ministry. It is. And it's a different skill set, a whole different focus. So that's really good. So, I, you know, Pastor, I hope that you go to marriedpeople.org and you bump around. And if you think that's right for your church and it will help your people. But I really want you to think about that 7-year thing, Pastor. Think about the marriages in your church. You could be a part of preventing a family from breaking up. And I don't know that we've really thought about it like that before. But if it's 2 years, it's worth thinking about and worth jumping in and start working on now. So, Ted, you guys also have a podcast, a Married People podcast?
We do. We're on our 20th episode. And so, you know, I salute you guys. It coming out with a podcast each week is, wow.
That's hard, isn't it?
It is. I was like, wow, especially, you know, people don't show up or the thing doesn't record. We've really had a lot of times. One of the things that, you know, we bag on millennials a lot. And here's something amazing I read from Pew Research, is that millennials, their number one priority is to be a great parent. And number two is to have a great marriage. And so I thought, wow, since marriage matters to millennials, the church can matter to millennials. If we can do this really well as a church, if we're known as the place that pours into marriage, and, you know, millennials are very experiential too. They want to experience things, and we can create those things at our church. And that's kind of what we've done through the podcast. I have 2 millennial co-hosts, and I am they are the constant pushbacks. And I'm thinking, if we can please these two, everybody else is winning. But it's fun. And one of our hosts, she's newly married, and she has a 13-year-old stepson. So we've got really great co-hosts and great interviews that we're enjoying. And it's straight to couples. Any couple can listen to it. It's not just for church leaders. And so, yeah, it's been fun.
You just dropped a little millennial nugget, man. That's worth chewing on and thinking about and talking to your church leaders about. And Johnny, my co-host, he's a millennial. He's 31 years old. And he and I have been doing this for 5 years now. Next month it'll be 5 years.
Wow.
And I think you're probably going to be like around episode 255.
Wow.
But to do
well
this,
done.
Yeah, to do this with this guy though, you're absolutely right. His priority are his four kids and his marriage, and they come before the church. And they come before the podcast. In fact, the reason why he wasn't on a recent podcast was something came up with one of his kids, and his wife was texting him, and boom, he was out. He said, hey, you, and I was just like, go, Johnny, just go. And he took off. And that is so refreshing for me and my generation to see the next generation doing that, because I know it only portends good things for them in the future. So that's exciting. Hey, Ted, thank you so much for joining us today. You've given us a lot of great stuff to think about. And the name of your podcast is what?
It's just Married People Podcast.
Okay, so there it is. So, Pastor, that's something you could push to your folks, that they could listen to that and be encouraged by that, or at least the people in your church that are going to be the lay leaders of this and the lay motivators of everybody else. Ted, I appreciate it. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, friend. Thank you.
That was quite the conversation, Jeff. I appreciated. I did get to know Ted Lowe from the recording that didn't work out.
Yeah.
And to hear about married people and, you know, his vision and his ministry. And he's a very cool guy. And I'm glad you got to have that conversation. And I will say this. This is what I alluded to as we got into this conversation. I feel like when it's only one of us on this podcast – talking to a guest, the quality doesn't necessarily drop off that much, especially when I'm the one not on the podcast. But like, we can keep it going. Man, David Fitch, friend of the show, beloved friend of mine. I cannot listen to those Theology on Mission podcasts when they get other people on. First of all, it sounds like they called him on a tin can. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, those two guys have never been concerned about sound quality.
Sound quality is like Skype from 1997. Skype since before the internet was born. What are they doing? Why does it sound that way? And then
it's like Star Trek Classic.
I go to that podcast to listen to Jeff and Dave. I don't care about listening to their friends. So anyway, our podcast I think is good with guests.
So who was missing?
Dave.
Who was missing? Jeff or Dave?
I want to say I listened to one that was Dave was missing and one where Jeff was missing. And then one where they were both there, but they were talking to someone else. It's just never quite as good. It's just, they're not interviewers. I think, and look, I sound so critical right now. I love these guys and I love their podcast.
Yeah, but we can be critical of them. By the way, this is the Theology on Mission podcast with
Jeff. That's my favorite podcast.
With Geoff Holzklaw and David Fitch from Northern Seminary.
Yeah, it's my favorite. I'm not kidding you. It's my favorite podcast. I listen to every episode.
More than ours? More than ours,
guests.
Johnny?
I listen to theirs a lot more than I listen to ours. But anyway, I'm just saying, you and Ted did a great job. I feel like we have a good time with our guests, and I appreciate that. I didn't have to make fun of somebody else's podcast to say that, I guess. But we have a good time with our guests. I think it makes a difference, and I hope that the people listening enjoyed this episode with you and Ted.
There are 20 lost minutes in this episode at the end where we were finished, and I kept recording, so I have it all recorded. But he and I kept talking for another 20 minutes, and I was just picking his brain on all kinds of different stuff.
Yeah.
And who knows, when I go to edit this episode, I don't think I'm going to put any of it in, but I might have to save it for maybe another time and drop in snippets here and there.
If we just became a premium podcast, we could charge people for extra content.
And premium content.
Hey, we got 20 extra minutes with Ted Lowe.
Hey, premium content for premium cost.
We cut out the last 7 minutes of every podcast.
Oh, man. Well, hey, it was good to get somebody from the Rethink Group and somebody connected over there in Atlanta with those people over there in Atlanta, connected half cousins to Carrie Newhoff and whatnot. But it was fun. So he and I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast episode, but we talked about his time at Saddleback, and we shared some humorous memories of Rick Warren and all that fun stuff. So I had a good time with him. I think he's like 10 or more years younger than me.
Okay.
So anything that he was talking about ministry-wise, I mean, I'm familiar with all of it. So we just had a really good time. I enjoyed it. Hey, you weren't on there. It could have been better. So there's always next week.
Next week. That's right. Who will be on next week on the next episode of 200 Churches Podcast?
You know, I think it's going to be a small church pastor from my area.
Oh,
who is scheduled. Plus, I just dug up another one today. I unearthed another great prospect right here in my neck of the woods.
You got the skills to pay the bills, man. You're keeping this thing afloat.
I tell you, it's this small church pastor has a story. Oh, my goodness. A story that I guarantee you almost none of our listeners will have.
All right.
And none of our listeners would want to have, to be honest.
Keep it safe. Keep it safe. We'll get there, and we'll see you next time on the 200 Churches Podcast.
We hope you've been encouraged and inspired by this episode of the 200 Churches Podcast. If you haven't already, subscribe at 200churches.com. And to access every one of our hundreds of past episodes, go to 200churches.com/podcast. You can count on us to be back next Wednesday with yet another brand new awesome episode recorded specifically for small church pastors just like you. So until next week, may God bless you as you lead and love the people in your 200 church.
You lead the way, I'll follow.
Okay,
255. I guess I have to start, but I'll kick it to you right away. All right. You said 255. Well, you'll have to say it tonight, probably.
Okay. Oh, by the way, this is a long episode.
Okay, that's fine because I don't have a bunch of time anyway.
We shared some humorous thoughts about the evangelical. I'm gonna have to cut that part out.
Married people. It's called married people, right?
Married people. Oh no! I've got them on at 3.
Oh, on Thursday?
Thursday 3-4. You don't have that?
But I'm happy now that it's at 3.
I didn't invite you, huh?
I see how it is. These are just your auditions for a new person. This is like over.
Johnny Doc Craig at Meredith Drive.
First of all, there's no dot. There's Johnny Craig at MeredithDrive.org.
Seriously?
I couldn't make that up if I wanted to.
Oh, all right, brother. Okay.
I do have to go. Right. I'll talk to you tonight, though, okay?
Great.
All right.
Okay, see you.
Bye. Ba-ba-ba.